Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Time, the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Coming to you live Sunday morning. I haven't been doing a lot of Sunday shows, which I don't like. I usually love going Sundays, but family stuff, you know, it's what it is. I love the family, but man, it's Father's Day. And the wife said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to record a live show Sunday morning. It's what I want. So happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And to those of you that maybe struggle a little bit with, you know, holidays like this, just want to say, man, we're with you. I know holidays aren't always positive, and a lot of people have a lot of trauma and stuff in their past. Just want to let you know you're not alone in that. But we love you guys, man. We're here to talk football. This is going to be a good time. Now, it's funny because there's no information from the 49ers, right? You have the draft, and then it just goes dead for like a month, and then you get mini camp and OTAs together, and you get like all these press conferences that are just like boom, 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 back to back to back to back to back. And then there's nothing for like 2 months. So in the past, I would kind of piece them together and not do it well. And so this time, the veteran that is John Chapman, the podcast host, said, you know what? I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to release all the clips and all this stuff. And I'm going to try to build a true episode series around some similarities that come through all these different press conferences through that 2 week span. And that's what we're doing now. And I'm very excited about this because, one, it takes a lot more time, but I'm hoping when we leave the show today, which this is show 1138 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. So I want to say thank you to everybody that supports the show and allows me to do this craziness. But when we walk away today, I really hope that we have a handle on one, the 49ers offensive line philosophy, on their depth chart, and what it's going to look like in the future, as well as when rookies or youngsters will start playing this season. And man, yeah, probably one of my favorite press conference coaches for the 49ers is Chris Forster, the offensive line coach. That dude, he never met a question he didn't like, and I love it, man. I should get the dude on the show because he's so stinking fun, and he just goes off in tangents, and you ask him a question, he gives you a four-minute answer, and so I've pieced together a whole bunch of the times he's talked, and I think I've tried to structure this entire episode around that, and so I really hope that we do it some justice, and so we're going to talk about draft day trades, why offensive linemen went where they did, why, you know, Dominique Pooney, why Jarrett Kingston, when they're going to play, what the backup spots look like, all that kind of different stuff, along with your questions. And I think a reason why this is so important and why it deserves its entire own episode is because the 49ers have only gone as far as their offensive line has allowed them to go. You look at the 2023 season, Trent Williams goes down, you go on a three-game skid. You know, you look at the two Super Bowl losses to the Chiefs, which, by the way, another Chiefs player just got arrested again for domestic violence. Shocker. I'm trying my hardest not to say things I don't want to say about that coaching staff. Gosh, man. Anyway. But if you look at the two losses, the Super Bowl losses, a lot of people point straight at the offensive line, and maybe rightfully so. But I want to try to counteract that by stepping into the shoes of Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan and understanding why they continue to do the things that they do. And so hopefully we can paint an honest portrayal of that. And when we walk away from today's show, we can be like, yeah, I get it. I might disagree. And this is not John Chapman's, you know, version of the truth. This is understanding why the 49ers are doing what they're doing. That's the whole goal here. And then the last part of the show, we're going to continue with our nostalgia series. We're talking number 38. And Colin, my man, appreciate you, buddy. Glad that you are here. You know, we got a question from Colin from Australia. And he says, you know, I need help from the community. He's from Australia. He says, you know, I have the number 38 jersey. He bought the Jaron Hayden train. You remember him? He's got that jersey. You know, he was a prominent rugby star there in Australia, big time guy. And so Colin reached out to me. He's like, man, I got this jersey. And he's like, you know, how do I change the jersey to something I can represent? Because again, Jaron Hayden is, you know, he's an Andy Reid type character guy. He's arrested for, you know, sexual assault and all that kind of stuff. So like, yeah, you don't want to represent that. So Colin reached out and says, man, I need some help with the community on what to do there. And man, we got you. So at the end of this episode, we're going to go through the best 49ers in history to wear the number 38 jersey. And there were a lot. I was pretty shocked. A lot of DBs, a lot of corners, a lot of safeties. So we'll be breaking that down on the last part of the show today. Got to say thank you to the live audience. Tim, appreciate you, man. Really hope we get to hang out. I know there's no game close to DC this year, but man, hope we can figure it out. What's up, Sean? Mike. Man, lots of people coming in. I love it. You guys are the best. And happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Thank you guys for all the kind words. I appreciate it. You know, I think I've told this story before. You know, the wife and I, right, foster adoptive parents. We get these two boys, and, you know, they're awesome, little turds. But the very first Father's Day that I had as a dad, the wife asked me, this was, I don't know, 12 years ago, she's like, what do you want for Father's Day? And I go, I just want to be alone. I just want to be alone. I was like, I want to watch movies and be alone and play video games. And to which my wife responded, she's the best. She goes, she said this. This is what she said. This day's not about you. And I was like, you're right. It's only Father's Day. But she was correct. It's about the family. So they're at church. I'm recording a show. Whenever they get back, we're going to spend the day together. But yeah, that story just cracks me up, man. Yeah, oh, the way Breezy just texted me. He said, happy Father's Day. I got to text him back after this. Which, by the way, Tuesdays, man, if you guys just joining us, it's Wayne Breezy time. It's the John and Wayne show on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. We're continuing just our shows through that. So hopefully you guys join us on that, man, because it's John and Wayne. I love that dude. He's so cool, man. And I say that even though he's a Celtics and Michigan fan, which I hate those teams. And UConn. But man, they all win. It's the year of Breezy. It's the year of Breezy. He's the best. All right. Let's dive in. Let's do this right now. Okay. The 49ers offensive line is weird. And if we jump in the DeLorean and we go back to before this draft, the 2024 draft, just 2 months ago, right? It was the end of April. Let's go back to the beginning of April. Every single mock draft, every single everything was 49ers offensive line. Offensive tackle, maybe a center, maybe a guard, but offensive tackle, offensive. You remember Tyler Guyton, right? Marius Mims, Kingsley Suamatia, Roger Rosa, all these guys. That's who everybody thought that they were going to get. Well, I put out this tweet, and one of my favorite things about, you know, Twitter is it timestamps everything. And so I put this tweet out April 21st, 2024. This is, you know, about a week before the draft. And I just said it simply. I said, if the 49ers do not draft an offensive lineman in the first two rounds, the first or second round, what's your reaction going to be? And man, I got 400 plus comments. None of them were good. The gifts were great, and I always appreciate a great gift response. But I was just like, man, I understand everybody thinks offensive linemen, and I want offensive linemen. I definitely did. 49ers, not so much. And they didn't. They didn't touch an offensive lineman in the first round. They didn't touch an offensive lineman in the second round. In fact, there were offensive linemen on the board in the second round that they liked. John Lynch even said so with Roger Rosengartner, and they traded back with the Chiefs. Chiefs took Roger Rosengartner. We took Renardo Green. And they asked him afterwards, like, was, you know, Roger Rosengart, the offensive tackle from Washington, was he one of the three players you liked? Because John Lynch said, you know, we had three or four guys that we liked at that spot, so we traded back one, picked up a six-rounder, which became Jarrett Kingston, an offensive lineman, right? And John said, yeah, Roger was one of the three or four guys that we liked. He didn't say he was the guy, but they traded back saying there were three or four guys we liked at that spot. They took Renardo Green, the corner. Would they have traded back and taken Roger? I don't know. That's something perhaps we get out of them eventually. But I don't know. I don't know. But like, okay, let's – and here's where it gets weird to me. You go back to the 2023 draft. They didn't draft one offensive lineman. This year they drafted two, right? You got Dominique Pooney in the third round. You got Jarrett Kingston in the sixth round. So you got two. You got an interior. You got two interiors. I don't think either one. They have said that they think Dominique Pooney maybe could play tackle eventually, but they're just keeping him at guard right now. But the center doesn't even seem to be in the thing. So you got these two interior guys. And whenever you look at the expiring contracts, it makes sense, right? John Feliciano, expiring contract. Aaron Banks, expiring contract. Ben Bartsch, who seems to be a prominent guy in the 49ers room. If you look at the OTA and minicamp rotations and you listen to the coaches talk, they love Ben Bartsch. Expiring contract. So that's three interior guys. You know, if you look at just guards that are going to be here after this year currently, obviously you could sign Banks, you could sign Feliciano, you could sign Bartsch, you could sign those guys. But Burford's got, you know, one more year after this year. Then you got Pooney, right? Then you got Kingston. Those are your guys. That's pretty much it. So we'll see how that goes. But it's crazy to go back to 2023, didn't draft one lineman. And then you get in 2024, you didn't touch a lineman in the first or second rounds. So the question now becomes, why? Why do the 49ers just don't draft top picks on offensive line? Well, we're going to be having a conversation today back and forth with Chris Forrester and my dog, apparently, who I'm home with Lucy alone. So I always keep the door open because she comes says what's up. But anyway, Lucy, it's okay. It's okay. She's just saying happy Father's Day as well.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Now, let's go to Chris Forrester. And he was asked a question. This is a lengthy clip. It's just over a minute and a half long. But gosh, it's good. Why do the 49ers not draft? And this is an old clip, and I get it. You know, it's been played on other shows, and that's great. But I wanted to wait and get a lot more context in for this conversation. Chris Forrester, 49ers offensive line coach. Why no top picks on offensive linemen?
Yeah, I don't know about it. That's for John and Kyle for the most part. My personal opinion, this is my personal opinion. If they ask me, invest in guys that touch the ball. Guys that can touch the ball and score touchdowns. And then there's a range of guys, second, third, fourth round, fifth round even, that we will find starting offensive linemen in. At some point, can you draft? Yeah, you draft Trent Williams. You draft your the pick and draft, you're getting a difference maker. But there's guys that can make difference that touch the ball well into second, third, fourth rounds, or second, third rounds at least, and definitely in the first round. That guy that touches the ball, it makes a huge difference in the game. The right guard makes a difference. We've talked about it before, but that's where we're able to find fourth and fifth round draft picks. And if they've been, you go find, you know, it's how dominant is the difference between pick, you know, 34 versus pick 54 in offensive line play. And that's what you're trying to balance all the time. So will we be best available player, all those types of things? Definitely will. And were we possibly ready to draft guys higher in the draft? Yes. But if there's somebody that can touch the ball and make plays, in my opinion, you asked me, Chris, do you want him? I want the guy that touches the ball for me, because I think we can develop those players much more readily and have developed those players through the times, because we do have a specific things that we're looking for. We know what we're looking for through the course of time. That's the advantage of being together with Kyle for so long, that we kind of can pigeonhole these guys. Are we always right? Heck no, we're not always right. And nobody is on anything. So, yeah, could you put five first rounders across the front? I don't know that we have to have success. And it hasn't been that case as far as running the football and protecting the quarterback. You know, we don't have five first rounders. So there's always going to be that. But the fact that you can throw a short pass to Debo, even though the right tackle is getting beat, it ends up being a 60-yard touchdown. So, yeah, the right tackle blocks somebody, but if the guy gets tackled at 5 yards, you don't have the 60-yard touchdown. Boy, that right tackle did a great job. What's it matter if the guy touching the ball can't take it to the house? So there's the trade-off, and you're constantly playing that game.
It's interesting, whatever you get. You know, usually guys, coaches in particular, I've been a part of these, you know, personnel meetings where coaches fight back and forth over players. Like, man, you don't, you're number two or three running back, like in high school, right? You know, back in Texas, whatever I coach, like you would go through these personnel meetings and we would have, I think one year we had over 400 football players, like in our football program. Like it was one of the largest programs in the country, back-to-back state champs in Texas, like big program. I get it's high school, but it's different. And you would go through these personnel meetings and you'd be like, man, the number three running back could be our starting linebacker, safety, D end, corner. And the kid wants to play running back because he wants the ball in his hand. But, like, you'd get into these debates and you'd always have coaches fighting for their position. Now, one of my favorite Kyle Shanahan stories was way before he became the coach of the 49ers. It's whenever he was down in Houston with Charlie Casserly. And I've told this story a few times. Charlie Casserly was the GM and they had the number one overall pick. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan was the OC. And they asked him, look, they made all the coaches in the room. They said, who do you want in the first pick? We're down to two players. Reggie Bush, one of the, you know, most explosive offensive weapons to come out of college in a long time, or Mario Williams, the defensive end. And they went coach by coach by coach, and everybody voted. Reggie Bush or Mario Williams. They got to Kyle Shanahan, the OC, and he said, Mario Williams. That is huge. Not being selfish, but about the team. Now you get to Chris Forster, the O-line guy, and you ask him, who do you want in the first and second round? Go get somebody that touches the ball. And the 49ers did that. Right? The unselfishness, the culture that is the 49ers permeates. Not about me, not about my position, about what we do. And you go get somebody like a Ricky Pearsall, who I was not near as high on as the 49ers, but it's a perfect fit. It is a great fit. Second round, though, you go Renardo Green. Doesn't touch the ball. Doesn't fit the scenario that Chris Forster just laid out. Now, getting into the 49ers' just offensive schematic philosophy and kind of with the traits that they do, there are certain positions that are helped by the philosophy. This is on defense and offense, right? It's easier to play corner for the 49ers because they invest so much on pass rush, right? Easier to play corner for the 49ers, and it's one of the most easy defensive back systems, simplicity-wise, for a corner. Offensive line, easy. Why? Outside zone, Kyle Shanahan. That scheme, you don't have to be the big freak, you know, 35-inch arms, power, whatever. It helps if you are that, you know, Trent Williams, but you don't have to be that. You can be Colton McKivitz. Right? You can be Jake Brendel, who can't start anywhere in the NFL for six teams, comes here, he's a starter for 4+ years. Because the scheme is very offensive line friendly. So you pair that with, hey, we're not going to spend premium draft talent or premium salary cap capital on these positions. Yeah, if there's a freak, Trent Williams, that you can get for a third and fifth round pick. Good Lord. One of the greatest trades in the history of the NFL. Not just the 49ers history. Greatest trades in the history of the NFL. You gave up a third and a fifth round pick to get Trent Williams. He's been the best left tackle since that trade. Oh, get me excited. So, now, back to Chris Forster's comments, right? Number one, guys that can touch the ball. You did that with Pearsall. Didn't do that with Renardo Green, but you traded back. You traded back and you got an extra pick. Roger Rosengarten went. That's what it is. You know, he went right before us. And so the 49ers liked Roger Rosengarten. Was he that one? Now, right here, Josh, my man, what's up, Josh? He says Green over Rosengarten. I personally would agree with that. I had Green over Rosengarten in my rankings. But they were close. They were close. Now we trade back. 49ers are on the clock. The Chiefs jump up one spot with us. right? The second to last pick of the second round. We swap picks. We fall back one spot. We get their sixth rounder, who we took Jared Kingsley with. They take Kingsley Suamatia, offensive tackle that a lot of people thought was a 49ers fit. You know, they got the OT. We did it. We'll see how that pans out. We'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, it is interesting whenever you look at kind of the way in which it all panned out, because you had those two tackles go in a row with Rosengartner, the Kingsley Suamatia, 49ers trade back. And again, I always say this, you trade up for a player, you love that player. You love that player. You stand pat, you like that player. You trade back, you settle for that player. We'll see. We'll kind of see how that goes. Now, let's look at, okay, why the 49ers didn't take a player. We just heard from Chris. Now let's go with, I just talked about how the scheme, the outside zone scheme, the play action bootleg, all those things, you can chip like crazy in this offense. We don't do it enough. I wish we would do it more. But you can cover up subpar tackle play. And I think the Niners actually are decent at this. Yeah, you get burned sometimes. Yeah, you do. But listen to Chris Forster talk about average offensive line play and why you don't have to spend a lot draft capital on these positions.
There's a line, and this is what I always say with offensive line play. And this is a cool discussion. I love this discussion. There's a line below which that with offensive line play that if you just drop a little bit below it, it's a gaping hole. It just all of a sudden you're like, he can't block anybody. And now we got a major problem. But as long as they're at that line and just above it, you can survive it and you can take care of them. We've got ways within our system. We can chip. We can do all sorts of things to help guys, slide lines, double team the best rusher on the team. There's so many mechanisms to help a lineman that's insufficient. If a guy can't get open, if a guy can't catch the ball and run, that's where we have a problem. But an offensive line play, you got to be careful. You got to have those 6, 7, 8 guys that are just at that line or above, and that's the challenge. Where's that line in the draft? Is it the third round, second round, fourth round, fifth? When's that line where all of a sudden the tackles have dried up, the guards have dried up? Now you're talking about drafting backup players, which is fine. They're backup players, but they're not going to be long-term starters for your team. And that's the challenge for me. Because eventually the guys that can run and score touchdowns run out. They're not there anymore. So you have to find those quality starters at other positions. And you got to be right, because oftentimes when you draft a lineman in the fourth or fifth round, there might be a guy that could come in immediately and contribute on special teams, contribute to be a backup linebacker, safety. And we didn't draft him first, second. We got to take somebody in the fourth round here, because I got five guys, got five holes to fill. So
it's interesting. It really, really is, because like he talks about the line of like adequate offensive line play. And if I just said, Lee, this will, hopefully this makes sense. Lee says both Super Bowl losses could be blamed on offensive line breakdowns. I think that's a very appropriate, accurate statement. Now, if I say, all right, who's the worst offensive lineman for the 49ers of the Super Bowl, this most recent Super Bowl, right? Like, I'm not saying put out a name out there. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say, think of the idea in your head, right? Lee says we lost Super Bowls because of offensive line breakdowns. Who comes to mind when we say offensive line breakdowns in the most recent Super Bowl? And I don't want you to put the names out there, but if you do, that's okay. I'm not going to highlight the negatives. The idea is this. I think most people would say Colton McKivitz. And I'm here to tell you that's wrong. That's not correct. Now, you highlight that play and you look at the Super Bowl replay and all that stuff. It looks like it's Colton McKivitz. It's not. It's Spencer Burford, who was not a starter. He wasn't a starter. He filled in. He did terrible whenever he came in. And like you go to the other Super Bowl, you know, loss in, you know, 2019, and yeah, there were some major issues there. But a lot of it has to do with just understanding the consistency that's been there. Now, it's not like Spencer Burford had a terrible game. I think he did have a bad game, but it's not as bad as people remember. I don't think anybody would say Aaron Banks, and I like Aaron Banks. But Aaron Banks, I think, had the worst Super Bowl of all of the offensive linemen. Now, that one play where Chris Jones comes, you know, scot-free, yeah, that one was on Burford. But Banks, I thought, was the least consistent. Now he's playing through two injuries. Is that his fault? Is that our, like, whose fault is that? I don't know. But the one thing I could say is that line, the 49ers believe that their depth, a lot of it is above that quality line. This is why they didn't draft anybody on the offensive line in 2023. This is why they didn't spend a first or second rounder in 2024. Because they love their backups. And you can say whatever you want. Yeah, the 49ers got one stud, one Hall of Famer, one All-Pro, and that's Trent Williams. The rest are kind of just, you know, that line, average at best, offensive linemen at best. But at the same time, like, the 49ers seem to be cool with that because they love the guys that are behind the starters. They love Jalen Moore. They love Spencer Burford. They love Ben Bartsch, which is crazy to me, but they are so high on that guy. Now, I'm with you right here, Sean. Hopefully Banks bounces back, you know, after this season. He fought through two turf toes. That's not easy as a lineman, and he could not handle it. He did not do well last year. He did poor, very poor. Can he come back and see that? I don't know. Oh, we got Don Burr in the house. Best O-line in football. That's right. Well, Don, I do agree with you that I do think you have the best offensive line in football. I do agree. And, you know, if you guys make it to a Super Bowl, perhaps we could see what that would look like. But, yeah, make it to a Super Bowl before you can criticize Super Bowl offensive line play. I'm not saying that's what you did, Don. Not saying that's what you did, Don. Not saying that's what you did, Don. That's what I'm saying. I love Lions fans. I really, really do. And, Don, you are the best, man. I think it's been like 2 years that Don's been popping in our chat, which is really, really cool. And hopefully we get to play the Lions again. I'd be very excited about that. Now, sticking with this idea, listen to Ben Bartsch had an ACL injury. He got cut off of an injury. We brought him in last year. And I'm telling you guys, Ben Bartsch is making the 53-man roster. And he's going to probably be the predominant backup, especially anyway. Listen to Chris Forster talk about Ben Bartsch.
In fact, thanks for reminding me. I forgot he had the ACL. That's why it was kind of that little bit of a delay. And he got back in there this year, and he is this spring. He's taking a step. Now, we're planning shorts, but his initial, you know, he's heard it. He got away from it. He's come back, and he's looked very, very good at center and guard. And we'll see when we get the pads on if he's able to play with a little more anchor, a little more strength and the things. But right now, he looks like he's been here for 3 or 4 years and has fit in very well. We're happy with Ben.
You know, Ben, because if you look at minicamp and OTAs, right, which I always put them together, you can call them whatever you want. They're the same damn thing. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the 49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So if you look at it, you know, Jake Brendel knee tendonitis. He wasn't out there. John Feliciano was taking starter center snaps, but he's 30 plus. So then he got time off. Ben Bartsch was out there with the ones at center. And so if you keep Feliciano at, like, Ben Bartsch is one play away from being the starting center of the 49ers. That's just the reality. Like, that is real. The center depth chart is Jake Brendel, John Feliciano, Ben Bartsch, then probably Nick Sekel, and ooh, I don't know about that one. Thanks, everybody, for all the Happy Father's Day mentions that keep coming through the chat. Appreciate y'all. But I don't know. Like, they love Ben Bartsch. They really, really do. He's somebody who's played a lot, and the 49ers have shifted. If you go back, you know, we do the 90-man roster series, which is freaking awesome. If you have, man, I should have pulled the thing. But like, if you're a person that's gone, like we just finished number 70, we got 70 more to go. It's so much work, but it's so fun. We do a full episode on every single player, right? And, you know, we did wide receiver Tay Martin, who, gosh, man, if you know somebody that's been through some stuff, just go watch that. Just go watch or listen to the Tay Martin episode. And he reached out on Instagram, and I just want to say thank you to him. Because I share the story. He's been very vocal about his story and all the death and tragic and terrible stuff that he's been through. And so we share that story on, on that episode, and he reached out and he said, you know, please continue to share this because other people go through trauma too. And he wants to share that with others so that they know they're not by themselves. And so, you know, it's incredible just who these people are. They're just humans. Football players are just us. They're just humans. They're super freak humans athletically, but you don't know what they went through as kids and, you know, the stuff they're going through now. And to have people go through the worst of the worst and to overcome that is just, man, I understand sports are trivial. Like, I get my life's been revolved around it from football coach for 10 plus years to this. I mean, year 8 of talking to you guys, right? I get it. Sports are trivial, but it does bring community. And I think it brings hope. And I think it brings relationships and positivity. Like, again, it's Father's Day, right? Like, I'll be real. Most of my family did not do it too great. Most of my family not around any longer. And people always ask me whenever they get to know me, like, what's the difference between you and all your family members? It was football. It was football. Football and girls. that was the thing. Like, football, I couldn't mess around with all that other stuff because I couldn't work out. I couldn't, you know, compete. I couldn't do all those things if I was messing around with drugs and all that other stuff. Plus, you work out a lot, you get more girls. It was simple. So football was my ticket out, even though I never landed like the big scholarship to a big, you know, program or whatever else. But football was my ticket out of the way in which I was raised. And so I get it. Sports are sports. We're talking about grown men throwing a ball. But whenever you hear about people like, you know, Tay Martin or whatever, I freaking, gosh, yes. And that's why I get so pissed off about Andy Reid. And I think they have like 9 arrests this offseason and like all the stuff. It's like, you could be inspiring future children, Chiefs fans, to do better things. But that's not what the Chiefs are about. It's just not. And that pisses me off. That's a big reason why, you know, I love Kyle Shanahan. And I'm so thankful he's our coach. I can buy my kids 49ers gear and not worry about them, you know, their favorite player being somebody that beats their wife or their children or any of that stuff. Like, I ain't got to worry about that. Like, we hire quality people. I'm not saying that that should be the priority, but man, it's Father's Day. Like, there are people out there that are doing amazing, wonderful things that should be applauded, that wear the freaking red and gold. That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing. So anyway, little rant there. It's gonna be. Now, we always talk about the question, what happens if Trent Williams is done? And we've said this like 3 years in a row now because he's old. Man, what if Trent leaves this year? We got to get somebody. What if Trent leaves next year? We got to get somebody. But at the same time, they love one player on this team that is the Trent replacement. And he has been the Trent replacement. And that's Jalen Moore. The 49ers love Jalen Moore. I know that that's hard to buy into. I don't think that I love Jalen Moore as a left tackle, but listen to Chris Forster talk about Jalen Moore and how much he means to this team.
Jalen Moore has continued to, he always progresses. You know, Jalen's not if you guys know Jalen or met Jalen or talked to him at all, he's a very soft-spoken, very even-keeled guy, but yet every year he just comes back a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, and I'm really impressed with how he's doing this year. And he's got to dig in. As I said, he's got the most thankless job in the world, right? He spends the whole offseason, the whole preseason, being our starting left tackle. It precludes him from competing at right guard or right tackle because somebody has to go play our left tackle spot and be there when Purdy's in the game or when we're trying to get things going. And so that he's kind of locked into that, you know, perennial backup role. But then you never know, you know, hopefully nothing happens. But if something does, that he's ready to go. And he's really proven every year to embrace more. And I love Jalen. I love what he does. He's not going to jump off the screen at you. He's not going to jump off personality wise, but I love the guy. Great guy. And he has improved every year.
And so, again, you go back to that line, and it's like, okay, should we spend a second-round pick? Let's say we don't trade with the Chiefs and we take Kingsley Suamatia. Nobody would have been upset with that, especially at that spot. Is he going to play? No. You look at Jalen Moore. He's filled in for Trent Williams. He's got seven starts in the past 3 years for Trent Williams. That's Jalen Moore. Seven in 3 years. He had three games in 2021, two games last year, two games in 2022. I'd be curious. I'd be curious to look and see how many of those games we won. Let's do this real quick. I'm going to try to go through this live. I'm sorry. Probably should have done this anyway. So in 2021, he started three games. We went 2-1. We beat Jacksonville. We beat the Rams. We lost to the Colts. That was that crazy rain game. Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember that with Carson Wentz. 2022, he came in and started two games. We went 1-1. We beat Carolina. That's when they fired their coach and traded us CMC after that. Then we lost to Atlanta. That was one of the worst games ever. So not only, man, I forgot about that. Not only that, that Atlanta game where we're down eight defensive starters, we were also down Trent Williams. So we went 1-1. Then last year, he came in and started two games, and we lost both of them. The Minnesota game where Kirk Cousins led us up, and then the Cincinnati game where Joe Burrow led us up. I don't think either one of those were against, you know, the 49ers offense put up 17-17. So we're at 500. So games that Trent Williams out, we're at 500. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that, I don't know. Is it worth spending a second round pick? You know, there's rumors out there that Trent Williams wants more money. He's not saying that if he's going to retire. So maybe the 49ers know something we don't know. And that Trent Williams, you know, he's putting out there, dude, I'm not retiring. I'm playing. I got more years in me. That might make a little bit more sense. We are out there saying like, hey, like, come on, man. We need a backup. Look at this. I like this, Tommy. What's up, Tommy? We need to sign Bakhtiari. Bakhtiari's not going to sign with us, not as a backup. Bakhtiari's going to sign. He's going to play. Now, if Trent got hurt, all right, now we're talking. But again, you know, I always say this with like free agency and stuff. Free agency, it's got to make sense for the player. Got to make sense for the new team. This, it doesn't make sense for Bakhtiari to come here. He ain't going to play. He's going to sit behind Trent Williams, who's older than he is. I don't know. Bobo says Trent Williams wants a new deal to keep Ayuk. It would help. It lowers the cap deal now. All those things, you know, it will kind of see how that goes. But yeah, man, we're crazy, man. It's kind of crazy where it's at. But again, back to this offensive line thing. They love their depth. They love their depth. They really, really do. Now, it might not be. Might be mistaken. They might be wrong, but they got no problem with Ben Bartsch. They got no problem with Jalen Moore. And at right tackle, they keep doing this thing where they're switching to older vets at the back end. You're not drafting these guys. We didn't draft a tackle in 2 years. Instead, you look at the tackles, and you know, the 49ers, you know, one of the things that's kind of unique about the 49ers, they don't have swing tackles. Jalen Moore doesn't practice on the right side at all. At all. He's just left tackle. They have a backup right tackle. And that's Chris Hubbard, who's a vet. And the backup to backup him is Brandon Parker, who's a vet. So the Niners have kind of turned a corner, and they're saying, like, look, man, championship window. Yeah, I'm going to go back real quick to Christian McCaffrey, and I love this. Like, how long is this championship window open, Christian McCaffrey?
I don't know. I know we got a window this year. That's all I know. So I'm focused on this year and taking it, you know, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time.
I think that's the 49ers approach. So, you know, I get we want to deal with Trent Williams and what's going to happen eventually. But, man, if we're looking at this championship window and you approach it year by year, which is the appropriate way to do that, well, guess what? You go get two veteran backup right tackles that if Colton McKivitz gets injured or whatever, you can plug those guys in, and guess what? They're at that line that Chris Forster talked about. They're at that line. Somebody that's played a ridiculous amount of football in Chris Hubbard. Somebody that's played a ridiculous amount of football in Brandon Parker. Instead of an undrafted free agent or a seventh rounder or whatever else. And now let's look at the guys they did draft. When is Dominic Buehne or Jared Kingston going to play? When are they going to play? Now, Let's start with our current guard. Let's go to Aaron Banks. It's a quick clip. Aaron Banks was asked about Dominic Pooney.
Good. He's figuring it out. I mean, it's not an easy offense fundamentally to just kind of walk into, especially from a college locker room. So, you know, there's some stepping stones, but it seems like you're starting to pick it up.
And so, like, you got to remember, context is important. Banks is a man of few words. El Cerrito, what's up, Gauchos? Go Gauchos. Look what happened to Aaron Banks. Gets drafted in the second round. Sits for a year behind expiring contract players, Lakin Tomlinson, right? Then steps in afterwards. You look at Dominic Pooney, third round pick, late third. Now, you think he's going to step in over these expiring back-to-back year starting players? No, he's not. I like Dominic Pooney, and somebody asked me earlier. Let me see. I started. You know, Zero Shift says, what's the ideal line starters? Zero Shift says, Trent Banks, Barch, Pooney, McKivitz. I don't mind that. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I think that's a higher ceiling. I don't think the Niners are going to even touch that, though. And I would argue the second best player next to Trent Williams is John Feliciano. He's the second best, most consistent, all those things. So my ideal, not week one, but if I could, like, my playoff starters would be Trent. Ooh. Yeah. If John Chapman was coaching, it would be Trent Williams. It'd be Banks. I would try Dominic Pooney at center. They're not going to. They've already said they're not. So I'm going to eliminate that. God, probably be what they have. I want the rookie to play. He's not going to play. So the 49ers would answer that. Well, it would be Trent, Banks, Jake Brendel, Feliciano, McKivitz. That's the ideal line starters. I want the rookie in there. I think most of us want the rookie in there. Maybe a Barch over Jake Brendel. I'm not a Jake Brendel fan. Hey, Sin, how are you? Great to see you. Yeah, I don't know what that looks like. Now, when will Dominic Pooney, the third round pick, when's he going to play? When is he going to play? Well, you listen to, oh man, where's that? Here it is. This is the longest clip I got today, but it's good. Listen to Chris Forster talk about guard consistency and ceiling versus the rotation, okay? This clip is fire, man. Ah, just the depth chart at guard. He's going to outline it for you through a lot of words, but it's good.
Blind play, we've talked about it before. Consistency, you know, talent, all this ability in the world. But, man, when it comes down to things happening quickly, being consistent, playing and play out, understanding the offense, how the defense plays it, every little intricate piece of this thing, it's not just about pass blocking and run blocking. There's so much that goes into it that you just miss a little detail, a little adjustment. And a lot of times it's things that come up that I can't cover. You have to understand and embrace the concept of the play or whatever we're doing to know that, oh, gosh, but if I follow my rules, this is where it takes me. And that's what we're looking for. That's one of the things that all these guys we took this year, and they, that one of the things are, and John spoke about it, probably to you guys in the draft, and I'll keep talking all day. So, but he said, we found that with offensive linemen that the what it takes, the character, the intelligence, all those things. Not saying one of our guys don't have it, but those picks after those first couple talent round, the guys are just playing because of sheer ability and talent. Those guys in the offensive line, they got to have that thing that they can figure it out. At some point, you don't make it as a player, you coach. It's an offensive lineman because the game, you understand the game, you're intrigued by the game. It's cool to coach it, teach the little pieces of it and all that stuff like that. And that's what these guys have to be. They literally have to be coaches on the field. And so sometimes the further away you get from the ball, the tackles, they have to have a little bit less of it. And that's what that's what analytics has found out, that as we start analyzing those character traits, those intelligent traits, that we've kind of found out that as you go with offensive line, it tends to be a little bit more leans that direction. Now, is that everybody? Is that, I don't know how that works for every other team in the league, but for us, those types of guys. So that's what we're looking for in that position. That position right now, that's how a guy like Feliciano played, with just a little more consistency. And was it a lot? I say it, no. I mean, when somebody said, how Spencer came to me when we didn't put him back in the lineup, he goes, coach, am I playing? I said, no, but It's two or three plays. It's just two. It's not many. You know, everybody else is great in here, and you're just those two or three plays a game, and you just don't know what when they're going to show up and how they're going to show up. And so those two or three plays are just like, gosh, we just got to get those two or three plays better. That's we're just looking for that consistency. Maybe it comes from Spencer this year. Obviously, he's the most talented of the players. I think he's as talented or more than Pooney. Pooney will push that from that. And John's just a guy that is a veteran, good player that knows how to get it done. Very savvy, good vet player. But these talented guys, when they figure it out, and that's what you keep hoping. So maybe it comes from Spence, maybe it comes from Pooney, maybe it comes from somebody else. I don't know where it comes from, but we're hoping we can get just a little more consistent play out of that position.
Yeah, the fact that he said Spencer Burford's the most talented, that again, you know, Spencer started right away, and he talks about development. Man, Spencer Burford hasn't really been developed. His play's gone down every single year. Which is frustrating. What the reasons for that are, you know, who knows, but that's an issue. That's a major issue. But the fact that Dominique Pooney's behind him skill-wise, talent-wise, ceiling-wise, whatever, however you want to put that, that's all right. It's not a bad thing, but again, I keep telling you, I'm telling you this now. The 49ers value continuity along their offensive line with their starters and the mesh with how much they play way more than almost any NFL team. And you always hear this talked about. It's like one of the tropes. Oh, well, the continuity behind these guys have played a lot together, all the starts, all that stuff. Man, the 49ers, they have in spades as far as continuity go with these guys. They've been together. Feliciano's the most new, but he took over. Like, and I'll keep saying this. It's Trent Williams, huge gap. John Feliciano, huge gap. Then all the other guys. Like, Feliciano's the second-best offensive lineman we have. At least that's what was the case last year. Whenever he went down, I think you had the Dre Greenlaw injury change the Super Bowl. The John Feliciano injury changed the Super Bowl. You had one of those two guys in there, it's a different story. You lost both early, and both the backups cost big time all throughout that game. That hurts. I don't expect Pooney to play very much, if at all. If at all this year. Injuries, but even if there is an injury at the guard position, you know, I'm curious if the Niners, because they're probably going to be keeping nine linemen this year, and Jared Kingston might not even be one of them. That would be frustrating. Hopefully they find a way to stash him, sixth round pick, you know, whatever else. But like, I'm curious if they do what they do with the tackles, where they say like, look, we don't have a swing tackle. we don't have that. Like, we just got backups everywhere. And so our backup left tackle, Jalen Moore. Backup left guard, that's going to be Dominique Pooney. Backup center, Ben Bartsch. Backup right guard, Spencer Burford. Backup right tackle, Chris Hubbard. Well, that's 10 linemen. You can't keep 10. I didn't even mention the rookie. I didn't even mention Nick Sakil. Like, golly, how do you keep all these guys? I don't know how that's going to plan out. Maybe you keep one on the pup or whatever, but numbers are numbers. The competition there is crazy. And I know the Niners come out and say, like, well, John Lynch every time, we don't want to draft somebody that couldn't compete with the backup guys and blah, blah. And, man, you look at the numbers. We legitimately need to keep 11 offensive linemen. You can't keep 11. You can keep 9. That's easy. 10, that's a rough ask. 10 out of 53? Can't do that. So, what are you going to do? I mean, ooh, it's... The numbers are hard. It's just difficult. And I do expect Dominique Pooney to start next year. I do. Because again, Aaron Banks, last year of his deal. Feliciano, last year of his deal. Like, those two guys are going to be going. Even Ben Bartsch, one-year deal. Expiring contract. So, this redshirt philosophy that the Niners have continued to implement will continue to be the way. It's going to be. I mean, you just heard the offensive line coach that makes these decisions say Spencer Burford is ahead of Dominique Pooney. Spencer Burford's the backup. Dominique Pooney's not even the backup right now. Not that that's his fault or negative. I think they planned for that. Ooh, man. It's interesting to me. I ain't going to lie. It's just... It said, appreciate you. He says, you know, John, speaking the truth. Oh, I got to say what's up to my friend, Austin. I haven't seen you in here in a while, Austin. What's up, brother? Joining us over on Facebook. Good man, Austin. Happy Father's Day, my friend. Now, I want to transition a little bit to the next part of today's show before we wrap it up. But, you know, I got to say, over on the 49ersrush.com, we got lots of things going on. We our newest breakdowns that we did, film breakdowns, all 22 breakdowns. Logan Thomas, we're starting the undrafted free agent section. So we did Evan Anderson, which was a lot of fun, really fun player. So the undrafted free agent, that's what I'll be working on tomorrow. And, you know, I know it slows down a little bit this time of year, but, man, we're still going. We're going to have our Zoom hangout meeting the last week of this month. I got a wedding I got to go to, so I'm going to be out of town a little bit. But that last week is when we're going to be having our Zoom hangout. But the number one thing, guys, the schedule, I don't know what you're doing. It's Father's Day. And I know you probably already asked for stuff, but if you got a birthday or Christmas out there, here's what you do. You tell your family you want to go to a 49ers game. And if you want to go to a 49ers game with your family, man, we have got you covered. Come out, party with us, 49ersrushroadtrip.com, baby. All right, 49ersrushroadtrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. It's incredible. Now, if you want more, you can click on our True Fan travel link. And so let's say you want to go to Tampa. And you can kind of see, you can put your deposit down now. Flights, transportation, hotel, parties, all that stuff, game ticket, you name it, it's there. It's a $300 deposit per city. And you've got several weeks for a refund policy if you want to as we build out these packages. And once we built that out, then we'll give you that opportunity to, hey, do you want in? Do you not want in? And then we'll move on from there. So lots of options are available for you guys. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go party with the faithful. And again, reminder, not that packages or anything are going to be sold, but we're going to be in Nashville. I will never miss an opportunity to go to Nashville. Live music's my jam. I don't even care what kind of live music it is. But we're going to be in Nashville for the preseason game, and we're going to be throwing a party and walking to the stadium right before. Don't need to buy tickets or anything. It's going to be like, you know, a couple bucks to get in. But that's going to be at PBR Live, just right in the heart of downtown Nashville, and we'll walk across the river to the stadium together. So if you want to come join us with that, no tickets need to be purchased for that. And remember, every event we do, family-friendly, you buy the tickets with a ticketed adult, kids get in free. That's just the way that it goes. We always try to make sure kids go home with something, something to remember by. That's what it is. Now let's go to, all right, nostalgia time. Let's look at the past. We're up to number 38, the best 49ers player to wear the jersey number 38. And there's a lot of mentions here. It's interesting. We got to start with the Barnacle. He changed his number so many times, Dante Johnson. But in 2019, Super Bowl year, he wore 38. The most recent player and current, Kamon Hall, wearing number 38. Jermichael Hasty, you remember him? I was a big fan of that dude. He's still playing for Jacksonville. Adrian Colbert, Demo had it before he changed his number to 2. So that's where we're at. Now, some other players. Tashawn Gibson, he wore number 38 in 2022, but switched it to number 31 last year. Ronnie Hurd, back in the day, defensive back, was an undrafted free agent. He played with the 49ers for 5 years, from 2000 to 2004, played in 69 games. Nice. Mostly as a backup nickelback guy, only 24 starts. Mike Simpson, from 1970 to 73, he played in 41 games in 4 years, 17 starts, and, you know, never played for anybody else. He just came in and played for us 4 years. Then his career was done. Our number three most famous player or biggest contributor to the 49ers was Darnell Walker. 1997 to 1999, three great years, had a 15 approximated value score, how much value they bring to the team from Pro Football Reference. He was with the Falcons for 4 years. Then he came to the 49ers. He was a seventh round pick, had a heck of a career. He started 47 games in 3 years. No Pro Bowls, no All Pros, but 8 interceptions, played in 1 playoff game. We didn't have a lot of great teams during those 3 years. That's Darnell Walker. I'm sorry, he was number two. Number one, the best. Come on, guys. Number 38, Deshaun Goldston. And look, Colin from Australia, you want to know what do I do with a number 38 jersey? You go take Hain off the back, put Goldston on there. You ever wear that to a 49ers event, you're going to get a lot of comments. Deshaun Goldston is revered in 49ers circles. That dude was awesome. Awesome. One, he's a Pacific Northwest player anyway from Washington. Fourth rounder. Maybe part of this should be a discussion. Maybe I could do part of an episode on this. What is the greatest 49ers draft ever? This one has to be in mention. It might not be the best ever, but in 2007, you drafted Joe Staley, Patrick Willis, Deshaun Goldston, Ray McDonald, and Terrell Brown. Now, I understand Joe Staley and Patrick Willis are in a tier of their own. You know, I don't think Joe Staley's ever going to make the Hall of Fame, but I do think he's the second or third best offensive lineman in 49ers history. Amazing player. You know, Patrick Willis, he's in the Hall of Fame now. But Deshaun Goldston, damn good player. Ray McDonald, damn good player. Terrell Brown, damn good player. Like, that is a draft. Whew. That's so freaking good. So he's part of that. Comes in. Oh, what's up, Rusty? How you doing, brother? Two Pro Bowls, one All Pro in his time with us. He was with us for 6 years, started 64 games, 14 interceptions, six fumbles forced, five career playoff games. Huge. You know, that 2011 and 2012 team. Gosh, man, those were fun times. Those were a lot of fun times. He had probably one of the biggest moments of his career was in the playoffs for Saints. You remember Deshaun Goldston picks off Drew Brees, huge return, didn't score, won a pick six. But then Michael Crabtree scored right after that, jumped up 14-0, and, you know, that game kind of was put on ice early. And that was one of the first years that the NFL started doing their top 100 list. And Deshaun Goldston came in number 96 on that list in 2013. Didn't start as a rookie. You had Mark Roman, and so he was the backup to Mark Roman. And then at the end of that year, they told Mark Roman, like, look, dude, Goldston's starting next year. So if you want to trade, you can trade. Mark Roman said, nah, I want to be a part of the 49ers. It was his last year. His last year was as a backup. I think he started maybe one or two games. But because Goldston always missed a couple games a year. It's just what it was. And a lot of that had to happen with how hard he hit. You remember you had him and Dante Whitner. The NFL fine started during that time. And Goldston, Whitner much more so, obviously, but Goldston was a part of that too. And you know, I was going back and just looking through a lot of the highlights and big hits, and he had this huge hit on Aaron Hernandez of all people. And it was like, ooh. And so then I went back and looked through his fines. Sure enough, it was one of the first fines, helmet to helmet hits, whatever else. So brave man, Deshaun Goldston, got a fine helmet to helmet hit, knocked the crap out of Aaron Hernandez and lived to tell about it, which anyway, speaking of terrible coaches, but currently a 49ers assistant defensive backs coach. He joined the Bill Walsh campaign to, you know, increase diversity, which is awesome. And so he's an assistant DBs coach currently with the 49ers. So my number one player to ever wear number 38, he came in with a 33 AV score. Pretty solid approximated value. Yeah, right here. That hit against the Cardinals, he had a lot of fines. He had like five or six fines for big hits that he had on players, helmet to helmets and whatever else. But I remember him always knocking the ball out. That was the thing that stood out to me. Yeah, Eddie. He says, Goldston the Hawk, man. He was fun. yeah, man. Deshaun Goldston just makes me happy thinking about him. The physicality on defense, Bowman, Willis in the middle. You know what I mean? You had the Smith brothers on the edge. Oh, just like, you know what I mean? I'm thinking like NFL films, big hits back in the day. Like, oh, I freaking love it. I love it. Yeah, Cynthia says, you know, Hittner, Dante Hittner, he went to change his name. Oh, dude, I love it. So, fun stuff, man. Today, I have started the day the way that I wanted to, which is with the community talking 49ers looking forward, 49ers looking back, one foot in the future, one foot in the past. I freaking love it. Oh, this is fun. Got to say thank you to our executive producers, Timothy R., David G., Philip K., Kilted Niner, and 49ers George 365. You are the freaking man. All of you guys, appreciate y'all. This show doesn't happen without y'all. So have a good day. Spend as much time with family. Reach out to the lost one or to the long ones that maybe you haven't talked to. Don't let that stuff stick to you. And I'm preaching myself here. But you guys are the best. Thank you guys for this. And we'll be back Tuesday with the John and Wayne show. But until then, head over to the 49ersrush.com. Go watch some player breakdowns, some all 22 tape. Get excited about this rookie class heading into the future. Go watch that Logan Thomas breakdown. I think the 49ers got their tight end too with him. Really enjoyed that tape. But until next time, you are the best. Stay strong, faithful. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.